so you got three classes going on.
Well, this will be the last time for Hebrew Club this summer until the fall, so I figure we got to stop sometime, right? All right. Good to see you guys. I'm back from vacation in Minnesota, and had a good time, caught some good bass. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, actually. Yeah. Now I got to get back to the grind. We're in 2 Samuel and chapter 3, right? And Tom got you guys through chapter 3, verse 5, I believe, is what he told me, in which, in that little section, the name of David's wives and their offspring, at least the first of their offspring, were mentioned. And it's kind of interesting because a number of these play into the narrative in quite a significant way that comes later, all the way through the rest of the book, as you guys know. So the author introduces those names here, and then picks up the story of David where it's at, and you know, you can almost bet that these names are going to come back. It's kind of a regular pattern you see in the biblical narrative, and sure enough, they do. All right. And so later in the year, fall and winter quarter, we'll be running across these guys again. So we pick it up actually in verse 6 of chapter 3. All right. Vayehi biyot hamilchama bein beit Shaul u vein beit David. Now, it came to pass, okay, when there was, behayot, infinitive construct, notice a temporal, this is a very common syntax for a temporal phrase, as you guys all know, vayahi plus bait plus infinitive construct, all right? And so we're waiting for where the main sentence is. Here's the subordinate sentence. So when the war was, see, or when there was war, behayot hamilchama, when there was war between the house of Saul and between the house of David, there's the atnak, so that Masoretes are telling you the next phrase is the main clause, ve'abner. Notice how the vav here, as happens so often in biblical prose, functions almost as a place marker, and we don't even translate it. So, when there was war between the house of Saul and between the house of David, ve'abner hayamit chazek, Bevet Shaul. Abner haya mitchazek. Notice that you have the perfect haya plus a participle, hit pael participle from chazak. Very common verb. Remember the call form. Anyone remember what it means? Chazak? Chazek? Close. It means to be strong. Chazek, to be strong. And in the pael and hifiel form, it means to strengthen. All right? Here it's the notice it's the hit pael form. And this is used in a number of times to strengthen yourself. So, for example, when Jacob was on his deathbed and he heard that Joseph was going to visit him, he strengthened himself to sit up. So notice what it says here. When there was war, Abner haya, perfect verb plus participle, we usually translate it as continuous action, was strengthening himself. Or you could almost say was becoming stronger, but was strengthening himself in the house of Saul. So I don't know, one way to picture it would be he was kind of moving up in the ranks, but his influence was growing. Remember, he was the head of the army. Military commander has a lot of power. All right. So that plays into what happens next. All right. Any questions on verse 6?
The second word, that's also just a... You said it's infinitive construct?
Yes.
That's also Haya, right?
That's also Haya. So you have Vayahi from Haya and Bihyot. And notice the third Hey, the infinitive construct, always formed that Oat.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, verse 7. Ula Shaul Pelegesh Ushma Ritz Pabat Ahya Vayomer El Abner Madua Bata El Pelegesh Avi. Okay, now to Saul there was a Pelegesh, there was a concubine. Saul had a concubine, and her name, Shema, was Ritzpah. All right, Ritzpah, the daughter of Ayah. All right, and he said, now here you have to supply the subject, and the subject is Ishbosheth, all right, the king. Let's see here, I think 8C, see, notice 8C, a number of manuscripts add the subject. Ishbosheth, right at the bottom of the page there. Also Aquila, Symmachus Theodotion, and the Vulgate. So the Greek versions and the Vulgate add Ish-bosheth. Right? So and most translations will add it because there's a change in subject. And Ish-bosheth said to Avner, "Why did you go into?" So this is from Bo. All right, second masculine singular perfect. The hey at the end is just a way of spelling that 2ms. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. We've seen it a lot before. So why did you enter to the concubine of my father? So obviously Abner went into Ish-bosheth's harem and had sexual relations with the concubine. Now you know that there's huge political consequences for that in this culture. All right. You take over someone's concubines, you are taking over their power, usurping, you're making a statement. See? So Ish-bosheth asked Abner about this. All right. Any questions on verse 8? Or 7, I'm sorry.
Where do we get Ish-bosheth?
Okay. What we're really doing, that's a good question actually, is following along in the story. Remember when you pick it up, from chapter 2, David was in control of Judah, but Saul still had Israel, the northern part of Canaan, and Saul's son Ish-bosheth was the king, and Abner was his chief commander. All right, and so notice that when it only becomes, you have to kind of reread it, because when you first come to Vayomer, you're asking, well, who's the subject? Who said? And the El Avner will clue you in that it's talking to Abner. And when you get to the end of the sentence, my father, that tells you, oh, Ish-bosheth might be talking. That's why it's supplied there. Okay. And Hebrew does that. Sometimes they'll leave off the subject under the assumption that it's kind of clear who's talking to whom. Okay. Now notice Abner didn't exactly quail in fear at the king. That tells you something about Ish-bosheth. Okay. Vayichar le'avner me'od al divrei Ish-bosheth. There you have him explicitly mentioned. Vayichar is from the root chara. Okay, call, vav, consecutive, imperfect, to become hot or to become angry. So more very woodenly, it became hot to Abner. Or Abner became angry, and then you have the adverb, gives it a little oomph, me'od. Abner became very angry. Or we would say he got really hot. All right? Over Divrei Ish-bosheth, over the words of Ish-bosheth. Vayomer, and he said, Harosh kelev anoki asher lihuda. Notice the hey is a hey interrogative. And this Rosh is head, and kelev is dog. The head of a dog am I. See? So am I a dog's head who is to Judah, who belongs to Judah? Okay, so am I a dog's head that belongs to... So notice how he's insulting Judah really going to insult the king here in a second. Okay, am I a dog's head who belongs to Judah? Hayom e'eseh chesed im beit Shaul avika. Today, I am showing chesed. Notice that that's a call imperfect from Asa. So I am doing grace, very woodenly, but we would say today, namely at the present time, I'm showing favor. Okay? E'eseh chesed im with the house of Saul, your father. Okay? And I'm showing favor el achav to his achav, to his brothers, and to me're'ehu, and to his companions. Notice that this is just a noun. Rea is the more common form. Here this has a mem prefix to it, me're. So me'rea would be the noun with the third masculine singular suffix. All right? So I'm showing favor to you, to your brothers, to your companions. Velo himzitika. Notice himzitika. That's from the root mem, zadi, aleph, matzah, to find. Here the aleph has dropped out. And in a number of forms of third aleph verbs, that happens, and they look like third hey verbs. That's what you see here. This is a hifil form. Notice that matzah means to find in the call. So you would say to cause to find. But here, notice the context. And I have not handed you over into the hand of David. All right, so it's kind of a strange meaning, very unusual meaning for matzah. So I've shown favor with the house of Saul, your father, with your brother, with your companion, and I have not handed you into the hand of David. Okay. Va tifkod alai avon ha'ashahayom. Okay. But you, now, here is a good example of how pakad can mean almost anything. Remember, you learned it as to visit. It can also mean to punish. Here it seems to mean something. But you have reproached me, alai. All right, done reproach to me, or accused me of iniquity for Ha'isha, the woman today. Okay, so some translations, you have reproached me about this woman today. See, very woodenly, you have visited iniquity upon me for the woman today. So see what he's saying? He's saying you've accused me of some bad behavior here. All right. Questions through verse 8.
What was Avon there at the end?
Avon, oh, that means iniquity, and it's in construct form. Oh, okay. Avon, yeah, so you get that Avon Ha'isha. So you have visited upon me the iniquity of the woman today. So you've reproached me for the iniquity against the woman today, or with the woman today probably is better. Okay. Now notice this next thing, what you're getting here. This formula in verse 9 occurs something like 12 times in Samuel and Kings. It's an oath formula. This is a classical form for it. Okay, and notice what he says. Ko ya'ase Elohim l'Avner v'ko yosif lo ki ka'asher nishba Yahweh l'David ki kain e'ase lo. Thus may God do, ya'ase. Thus may God do to Abner. And thus may he add to him. This is again the hifil from Yasaf to add to do again. And most people think that when they're making an oath like this, the thus may he do to me, that he's doing some kind of gesture. Like some suggest, he's putting his hand across his neck or something like that. Okay? So notice he's swearing this oath. Thus may God do to Abner, and thus may he add to him. Stop. Notice the atnak. Now, ki kasher. Surely, as Yahweh swore to David, surely thus I will do for him. All right. Now, notice that since this is an oath formula, sometimes this apodosis has an im lo. Sometimes it has a ki. Okay. So, I said, surely, but may God do this to me if as Yahweh swore to David, see, if I do not do as Yahweh swore to David. That's how it comes down to. So you could translate this ki'im, if not as Yahweh swore to David, if not, thus I will do to him. So in other words, the clause goes, may Yahweh do this to Abner, and may he add to it, if I do not do to David as Yahweh swore to him. In other words, he's swearing his allegiance to David. He knows the covenant that God made with David. All right. But, I mean, you can kind of figure it out if you just make that key an asseverative key. It's emphasizing. And the key used in oaths, may God do to Abner and may he add to him. Surely, as Yahweh swore to David, surely, thus I will do to him, or do for him.
And that's all Abner speaking.
Like, and that's Abner speaking in the third person. That's what's kind of unusual about it.
Is that the way that you use it?
The other times, I think that varies. It's not necessarily third person. Yeah. All right. Good. Any other questions through verse 9? All right. We'll run across this some more in the books, and especially as we move through Kings. Okay. Verse 10, Lehaavir hamamlaka mibet Shaul, u lehakim et kisei David al Yisrael ve al Yehuda Medan ve'ad be'er shava. Okay. Now he specifies what he's going to do. See, so may Yahweh do this to Abner if, as Yahweh swore to David, thus I do not do to him. That is, so the Lama explains, that is to cause the kingdom to cross over. Hamamlaka is the subject of this Hifil, infinitive absolute from Avar, to pass over. So the Hifil, to cause to pass over. Okay? So, and the Lama explains, so it's an explanatory. That is to cause the kingdom to pass from the house of Saul and to Lehakim, here's another Hifil infinitive construct from Qum, and to raise up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba, namely from north to south. See, so Abner says he's going to work for the united kingdom, unity of the kingdom, Israel and Judah together. All right. Very interesting. All right. Any questions? So now what's Ishbosheth going to say? Now, if you were king, you'd probably just kill Abner right there. Well, no, you're not going to help because you're dead. But notice he didn't fear him because he probably had the whole army of the northern kingdom on his side. He's a very powerful man. All right. So verse 11, Velo Yakol Ohod Lehashiv et Avner Davar Mi Yir Ato Oto. This tells more about Ishbosheth, and it kind of damns him. But not was he able, Yakol, just a simple call, imperfect, or perfect, third masculine singular. He was not able yet to return a davar, a word, to Abner. Lehashiv is an infinitive construct from Shu. So let me read that again. And again, the subject is Ishbosheth. And he, namely Ishbosheth, was not able, Yakol, still owed, to Hashiv, to answer, see, to return a word to Abner, to answer Abner. Why? Mi yirato, from his fearing him. This yirato is a call infinitive construct from Yahweh, to be afraid of. And the subject, notice it's a subjective genitive, his fearing. And the min is causal, because he feared him. All right. So notice Ishbosheth was not able again to answer Abner because he feared him, or because he was afraid of him. Mi yir ato oto. All right. So that tells you about Ishbosheth, what's going to happen to him. If you got a king that's afraid, in trouble. any questions through verse 11?
Now, is Ishbosheth actually the one reigning right now, or is it still Saul?
Saul's dead. So Ishbosheth had taken his place, and Ishbosheth, yeah, and so you had this situation in which, you know, remember both Saul and Jonathan were killed. Okay, so yeah. Ishbosheth was remaining, and immediately after his death, then Abner supported him. So he had the support of men, and he had support of the northern troops, while David was in Judah, and the Judahites supported him, right? And he had been anointed already a couple times by Samuel and by Joab. Okay, so, and remember what's going on in the background here. Abner is the chief of the army of the north. Joab is the commander of the south. All right, David's nephew, very powerful man in his own right. Remember what Abner had done in the war in the previous chapter. There were three brothers, Joab and Azael, and I can't remember the other guy. And Azael was the youngest and kept pursuing Abner. Abner told him to turn away, take the mantle of someone else, and he wouldn't do it. So he drove his spear behind him and killed Joab's brother. Okay, so now Joab's lying in wait for him, as we will see in this chapter. All right. So both Abner and Joab are very powerful within the kingdom. So verse 12, Vayishlak Abner Malakim el David Tachtav Lemor Lemiaretz Lemor Kartaberita Kaiti Vehine Yadi Emak Lehasev Eleke et Kol Yisrael. Then Abner sent Malakim, sent messengers to David, Tachtav, in his place or in his stead. This is from Tachat, third masculine suffix. Now notice the weird thing. Just look at the pointing. Don't let that throw you. The text makes it look like there's a third masculine singular suffix and that it's to a singular noun, just the O. So the text, if you just look at the consonants, tachto. Masoretes wants you to read it as if it's a yud there, tachtav. So as if it's a final tet, yud, vav. In other words, as if it's the suffix to a plural noun. Everybody see? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Notice in the margin at the right hand, see that little kaf and above the kaf, tachtav, see? The reason they do that, I checked this out, tachtav with the third masculine singular, virtually every other time in the Bible is plural, with the yud. There's two times that it doesn't. This is one of them, and another time in 2 Samuel. So it's the yud has probably dropped out. The Masoretes wants you to read tachtav, not tachyo. This is a korekative reading. Okay? And it doesn't change the meaning. All right? So Abner sent messengers to David in his place, saying, to whose is the land? Adding, Lamor, karta. This is an imperative call, masculine singular, all right, from karat. Now, what's unusual about it? It doesn't look like it, does it? Remember that the normal imperative would be kerot, like ketol. Here you have a comet's hey at the end, just like you would have on a cohortative. And remember, again, on a lot of imperatives, you have that hey. And so it changes the pointing. So this is really just means write. See, write beriteka, a covenant with me. I'm sorry, it means to cut. Cut a covenant with me. Or make a covenant. Make your covenant with me. Vehine. And look, Yadi, my hand will be imak, with you. Lehasev, to turn. This is from Savav, to turn, Hifil, infinitive construct. To turn et kol Yisrael, to turn Israel, eleka, to you. All right? So again, cut your covenant with me, or make a covenant with me, and behold, my hand will be with you to turn all Israel to you. Okay? Question? All right, good. Let's do one more verse. Verse 13. Vayomer tov, and he said, good. Sounds good to me. And again, notice it doesn't say that it's David, but we're assuming David is the speaker. Okay. Ani ekrot. Notice you have the pronoun plus the verb here. So kind of, I myself will make with you a berit. So the pronoun probably gives it a little more oomph. See? Ani ekrot itka berit. So I myself, or I certainly will make with you a covenant. Ak. But... Davar echad. But one thing I shoel, I ask. This is a participle call. One thing I ask, me itika, from with you. And we would, again, pile up prepositions. Hebrew loves it. We don't. One thing I ask from you, lemor, namely, lo tira et panai. Not will you see, from ra'a, call. You will not see my face. Ki'im lifne. Heviak, okay. Not will you see my face, except before or until. And in English, we almost have to say until or unless. Ki'im lifne. You bring. This is a call. Hifil, infinitive construct from Bo. Until you bring Michael, the daughter of Saul. Okay. So not will you see my face. Ki'im lifne. Hevieka, except, see, or until you bring Michal, the daughter of Saul, be boaka, in your coming to see my face. So don't come unless you bring Michal. And if you will remember, David had married Michal in 1 Samuel. This goes way back to 1 Samuel 18, and he killed 100 Philistines and delivered the foreskins of the Philistines to Saul as the bride price. Saul gave her to David and then later took her away. Okay, so he wants her back. All right. Good. This is a good place to stop. Any questions through 13? Alright, and now notice then there's a, you know, there's going to be this transition till the United Kingdom in the next couple chapters of 2 Samuel that we're going to be looking at. So in the fall, we will start with verse 14 in that paragraph there. Good place to start. Alright? You guys have a good break, and thanks for coming. I'm glad someone was here. When are you guys going to take off?
Next Friday, as soon as my class gets done, is when I'm
going to. Oh, okay.